This is for Brother Jody. He said he's sorry I couldn't be here because he missed my jokes. He didn't say anything about my preaching. He missed my jokes. The manager of a large office asked a new employee to come into his office. What is your name? Was the first thing the manager asked him. John, the new man guy replied. The manager scowled. Look, I don't know what kind of an namby-pamby place you worked at before, but I don't call anyone by their first name. It breeds familiarity that leads to a breakdown in authority, he said. I refer to my employees by their last name only. Smith, Jones, Baker, that's all. Now, we got that straight. What's your last name? Guy hesitated a little bit and he said, Darling, my name is John Darling. Man just said, well, okay, John, welcome to the company. That'd be awful. In a warm summer evening morning, a preacher noticed that many in the congregation were kind of drowsy and were nodding. He paused in the sermon and said, once I called on a family on visitation and beheld a most unusual sight. I saw four little lambs, and each lamb had a long 5-foot curved horn growing out of the middle of its back. The preacher then paused. Everyone in the congregation was wide awake and waiting for the rest of the story. And he said, how strange. A few minutes ago, I was preaching truth and most of you dozed. Now I tell you a whopper of a lie and you're all wide awake. Lying words. Some school teachers were taking a periodic efficiency test, and on the final page was a long list of books, and the director's directions were, check the books that you have read. Later, as examiners discovered it to their amazement that over a third of the teachers had checked almost every book. Some had checked every one of them. Were they well read? No, they were lying words because 25 of the 50 titles didn't even exist. They had been made up by the examiners to test for the honesty of the teacher. As I prepared this message, I realized that verse 28 is a description of our nation today. Verse 8. You trust in lying words. You know, he said, this is a nation in verse 28. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Let me ask you today, have you ever seen in your lifetime so much lying going on in our government, in our nation today, as they are now? I mean, they don't even try to hide their lies today. I mean, it's just like it's openly. This nation and the world today, for the most part, is trusting in lying words. That's the title of my message today, in case I didn't mention it before. That there's lying words that cannot profit. They're certainly not listening to the voice of God today. And I believe the same thing will come to this nation that befell Judah and Jerusalem in verse 34. It says, then will I cause to seize from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. We hear that today a lot, that things are, I'm amazed. I've been around for quite a few years. Me and Bud probably been around more than any of you. Bud more than any of you. But I have never in my lifetime seen such lying and such things that are taking place as have been taking place in this past year. This COVID-19 has affected the whole world. You know, I've seen in my lifetime some nations that had a lot of diseases and stuff. But the whole world is facing this problem. In the book of Exodus, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, the ninth commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't tell a lie on them. Well, all you have to do is turn the TV on today, and if they got a politician up there, you're going to hear a lie, regardless of who it is. two men were fishing. I thought about Pastor Tim and Ian. Two men were fishing in their boat, and one man said to his buddy, "You know, all fishermen are liars except you and me. And I'm beginning to wonder about you." Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." And for the most part, man today is living in a refuge of lies. I believe God is telling us today, as pastors, as preachers, teachers, as witnesses for Him, to stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim His Word. Not lies, but proclaim the Word of God. We need to proclaim that man is trusting in lying words that cannot profit. I'd like to share with you today four areas where the world and mankind is trusting in lying words. I believe one of the greatest today where lying words are being trusted is in salvation. How many ways of salvation have you heard there are? How many ways of getting saved have you heard in your lifetime? In the past few years, actually. Look with me at Acts chapter 16 and verse 23 to 32. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same night, same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." This account of giving to Paul and Silas that they had been cast into prison for casting a demon out of a girl who had been following them around, who had made a lot of money for their managers, and because she would no longer be a means of income for them, they really got mad and riled the people, and the people brought them before the magistrates. And the Bible says, "And the magistrates commanded them to be beaten." And not only that, they were put in jail, and to make matters worse, they were put in stocks while they were in jail. Did you ever wonder what all these protests do for a living that we see going on today? All these people that are protesting, how do they make a living? I wondered about that, and I think they're paid to do that. They're paid protesters. You know, you don't have to be in a church house to have a church, as Paul said. Silas showed you. He had a church right there in the jail. They had a church service at midnight. They sang and prayed, and it doesn't say this, but my guess is they could have made and taken an offering. I remember, I got to tell you this, several years ago, my brother had back surgery at UK Hospital. And he was in the hospital. My sister-in-law asked me if I'd drive his van down and go pick him up. And I told her I would. And I drove down to the hospital and walked in the door. And just as I was headed back toward the elevator, it started to close. There were three ladies in the elevator, and they caught the door and held it back so I could get in. So as soon as I got in the elevator, it shook two or three times. Might have moved. I didn't know how much far it moved, and nobody else did. It wouldn't go any farther. We were trapped in an elevator. And I'm telling you, they pushed every button and pulled every knob in that thing on the elevator. But nothing happened. And I tell you, it was getting pretty warm in that elevator because nothing was on. And finally, there's someone contacted us, and we were between two floors. They had to put a ladder down in there for us to climb from the elevator to the next floor. But my point is, if we'd stayed in there a few more minutes, I think I could have had church. They were praying already. Paul must have been a stockbroker. He was involved in stocks and bonds. During the church service, though, there just happened to be a great earthquake. Must have been way up there on the Richter scale when they had this earthquake. It made the presence out of joint, that the doors flew open and all the bonds come loose that were on her arms and legs. And the jailer was about ready to commit suicide because he figured all the inmates had escaped. But Paul yelled out at him, "Hold it, nobody's gone. Nobody's left." And he got a light, and as some people would say, he flew in there. Had you ever heard people say, "Boy, that car was flying down the road"? I know somebody says it regularly. But they flew in there where Paul and Silas were and fell down before them and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" If someone asked us that question, could we tell them? And you know, it's important that we know how to lead someone to the Lord. In fact, all of us, you don't know the day when somebody will say, "Well, I don't know how to be saved. Can you tell me how to be saved?" And Paul said, "Well, you're going to have to stop throwing preachers and gospel singers in jail. You're going to have to start living a better life, start giving to the church, putting money in the offering plate, keep the Ten Commandments, and do the best you can. Then God will weigh the good against the bad and on judgment day, and if the good outweighs the bad, you'll be allowed to enter heaven." You know, that's not too far-fetched from what we hear a lot today from people when they ask how to get saved. "Well, I do the best I can." Lying words, that's what they are. And yet, those are some of the same conditions that man is saying today that brings about salvation. And you hear it a lot. Paul and Silas said, in order to be saved, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And they told him the way of salvation, and all that were with him, and all that trusted Christ, and he took them and baptized them the same night. People are going to hell this very hour because of lying words about salvation. I remember Bud and I used to go on visitation. We went on that visitation several times together. We went to the same church for many years. But I remember one time we went into this house, and Bud was going to lead his person to the Lord. Well, he was going to show him the way of salvation. And we'd been told by the pastor when he told us about showing someone how to be saved, if you can, use their own Bible. If they got a Bible, use their own Bible. Well, Bud asked this person if he could use their Bibles to show them from the way of salvation, use Romans Road. They opened up the Bible and the book of Romans was gone. So he just had to wing it from there.
It was a loose leaf Bible.
If anyone says there's any other way to be saved apart from Jesus Christ, they're a liar. The Bible says so. That's all there is to it. They're a liar. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is a prepaid gift. No hidden clauses, no strings attached. You know, I like gift cards. In fact, at Christmas time when they ask me what I want for Christmas, I usually tell them a gift card. I usually get quite a few gift cards to Lowe's. And I can go to Lowe's now, probably buy a washer or dryer gift card. But I like the gift card. But don't put trust in lying words about salvation. They cannot profit, but will send a person to hell. Second, there are lying words about our walk before the Lord. In verse 2 of Jeremiah. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Also in verse 9 through 12 it says, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Lying words. Although people are talking about how wonderful the temple was at this time, they were still worshiping Baal. Their philosophy was that since the temple was repaired and they were at the last acknowledging God on the Sabbath day, He would protect them. You ever notice obituaries sometimes? It was of the Baptist faith. I've seen that many times in there. And most of the time, many of the ones that I knew weren't saved. Or they had never made a profession of faith. But people today seem to think if they belong to a church or go to a church, this is salvation. That's all they need. But that's not what the Bible says. That is lying words. They hear, when people genuinely turn to God, He will protect them, and they were resting on the fact that this didn't apply to them. They had taken up quite an offering for the rebuilding of the temple, and people had given generously and felt that this was all that was necessary for God's blessing. Verse 11 says, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. This is the same charge Jesus used when He cleansed the temple centuries later. In the days of Jeremiah, He called it a den of robbers because the people were spending the week robbing their brethren. And then they would piously come to the temple on the Sabbath, and there was no change in their business habits or in their relationships with one another or with God. God is not so interested in our ritual on Sunday as He is our behavior on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week. J. Vernon McGee said, some people go to church with eyes closed and others go to church to close their eyes. They really don't go to worship God. Many of them go to sleep. We had a man who just come here years ago. I don't know where he's at now, but I noticed he would come in. They come regular for a long time. Sit right over here on the third pew back. And every morning, just as we were singing a song, right to get to the last verse of the song, his eyes start going like this. He's trying to keep them all open. And by the time we finished that song and he sat down and we read the scripture or did the announcement, he was already gone. There's a lot of people that go to sleep in church. I don't know what it is. I never could go to sleep in church. Of course, I haven't tried, but these people still gossip about other Christians, about their backs, still living their lives out in the world just as the people in Jeremiah's day were doing. And you know, you see people like that today. They go everywhere they want to go, anywhere they want to go, in places they shouldn't be going. And yet, they consider themselves a Christian. The word Christian anymore doesn't mean to what it used to mean. You can say, are you a Christian? And they say, yeah, they mean that you're a Christian. Well, I go to church once in a while. It's not the fact that they've trusted Christ as their Savior and they're trusting Him for their salvation. they were still going to the altar of Baal and living without a testimony for the Lord. There's a certain testimony that is given by going to church regularly. You know that? Now, you can go to church regularly and still not be a Christian, but let me tell you, they're going to, if the Word of God is being preached and you go every Sunday and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, it's going to affect you. There's going to be a difference. And we give out the Word that counts when we go to church faithfully. But you, regardless of what, how many times we go to church a week, if we have not trusted Christ as our Savior, we're not a Christian. They were still going to the altar of Baal and living without a testimony for the Lord. There's a certain testimony that's given by going regularly to church, but it's not the way of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And Paul wrote in Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or vainglory. We live in a day to day that society and philosophy do what makes them feel good. It doesn't matter what it is. It's been carried over into the lives of many Christians today, too. Just do what makes you feel good. But that's not true. That's not the way of salvation. And our walk before God is more important, seeing the one we must give an account to. One day we must face God. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The Bible tells us we're not to listen to lying words that cannot profit, especially concerning our walk before God and man, because one day we're going to give an account of ourselves, our Christian life before the Lord. Third, there are many lying words about heaven and hell. We have today in our society those who teach there is no literal hell, and that's exactly what the devil wants us to believe. In fact, he'd like to believe that himself, because he's going to spend eternity there too. The Bible clearly teaches that there is a literal place of torment, a lake of fire where the unsaved, the beast, and the false prophet, and Satan himself will be cast for all eternity. Several years ago, I was sitting in a barbershop in Greenup. Barbershop's not there anymore. It's a little place where food fair, the little strip mall in there. And the man in there had a barbershop, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. But I didn't know it at the time. And I stopped in there to get a haircut. And one of the places where I'd never been there before, so I thought I'd just try it out. And I was sitting there getting my haircut, and the barber, who was a Jehovah's Witness, began to debate me concerning heaven and hell, especially hell, a literal hell. And this is not a good place for Baptists to debate the doctrine of hell, but I did anyway. And he said a loving God would not send a person to a place like this, even if it existed. And I agreed with part of this. God is a loving God and gracious God, and doesn't send anyone there. That man goes there because he chooses to go there. God doesn't send anyone to hell. And the Bible plainly teaches it's a place of torment with flames of fire. And once you're there, you're not going to get out. We see that in the Word of God. We're hearing so much about Mother Earth and the Queen of Heaven and all these other lying words today concerning hell. Hell is a real place, just as heaven is real. Hell is mentioned more in the Bible than heaven because it's a place of torment that once you're there, you can never get out. It's forever. But heaven is just as real. In Revelation 21, verse 5, look at this with me. Revelation 21, verse 5. 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John, the holy city, and New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. For these are not lying words that Jesus spoke. The Bible says these are faithful and true because God's promised them. A dear old Christian man was lying near death. He was dead and his body was weak with pain and disease. And a friend asked him, How are you doing? And he said, Almost well. Almost well, I like that. In heaven, there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death. And the Bible says, He that sat upon the throne said, Right, for these words are true and faithful. That's good to know. It's good to know when you read that someday we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me pause for just a moment to ask you this today. If you were to die, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or to hell? And as I look over this congregation, I see every one of them that's made a profession of faith. And I'm not going to say, do you need to come and get saved? Because you are saved. You're the ones that hear every week, hearing God's word preached. And I know that you are saved. But there are literal places, and we have a choice where we'll spend eternity. And don't listen to lying words concerning heaven and hell. And fourth, there are lying words about Christ's return. John 14:3, Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. Be believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We know that Jesus had come to prepare a place for us. But he said in John 14:3, I will come again. He's coming back. There are lying words about the return of Christ. Others have predicted when Christ would come back, only to prove their predictions wrong and prove they were lying words. Remember, back several years ago, in the year 2000, even before that, people came up with certain dates that Christ was coming back. And I think a lot of people really thought the year 2000 was the date that he was coming back. But it never bothered me because I remember these words here in the Bible. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. And they didn't know. And it didn't bother me. If he came back, that was fine. But if he didn't, I knew it was a lie anyway. There are two things that we can know for sure about Christ's return. One, first of all, nobody, no man knows the day nor the hour. I don't care what they say, no one knows it. Second, we can know for sure he is coming back because he said so. I will come again. If he isn't, then I've been preaching lying words and you sat here and listened to them for half hour this morning. But if you believe the Bible says he's coming again. First in the air, where we'll be caught up to meet him, and then later when he comes to set up his kingdom, I believe we'll come back with him. These are not lying words. These are things that are going to happen. And who are people going to listen to today? The lying words of a man and philosophy, or the one that sits upon the throne of God on heaven, whose words are faithful and true? We have a choice, and that choice will determine where we spend eternity. And we need to tell others about that choice they have of where they're going to spend eternity. Don't trust in lying words that cannot profit. Trust in the Word that was made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Father, for the promise that you made us. Someday you're coming back for us. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know that you are coming. And we need to be ready when you come. Father, I pray this morning to take your word and use it to speak to our hearts this morning. Encourage those here that are saved, that are looking forward to that. And we need our hearts encouraged once in a while as Christians, because sometimes we get down and we wonder, is the Lord really going to come back for us? But He is. The Bible says He is. And we can rest in the fact that Jesus promised that. But today, if you have a need this morning, whatever it may be, you can come up here and kneel and give your problem to the Lord or need to your Lord. And He'll do it. But I'm not giving an invitation for salvation, because every one of you in here I know. And I know your testimony. But if you have a need for anything else this morning, and you need to just come and talk to the Lord about it, you're welcome to come up here today and do that. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the blessings that you give us from your word. We pray that you'd guide and direct in our lives, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 309. Doug McCabe will be speaking. Brother Dave, would you lead us, dismiss us in prayer?
Like old times, huh?
Almost.